knew about me years ago. That was, I feel sorry for her, but she did. And she still came back and said hello when we were meeting on a program called You and Your Guide Dog that's on accessibleworld.org. And she spoke about a business. I'm not going to mention it because I want her to talk about it. And then I went to lunch with her, and we spoke some more. And it's a rather unique business that is related to the guide dog world and to all of us. So to speak about what Debbie is trying to do, I'd like to introduce our lunch speaker, Debbie Sands.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Pam, very much for this invitation. And to all of you, it is really an honor to be here to meet you and talk with you. First off, I want to let you know that I do not have a disability. I do not have a service dog. But to be fair, I just did a talk for the group TRIO, which is the Transplant Recipient International Organization, and I told them I had all of my original body parts, too. So we're all on the same playing field here. But what I wanted to let you know is that for over 16 years, I worked at Guide Dogs of America. I was director of development, PR coordinator, special events coordinator, sponsorship coordinator, and photographer. So for those of you that had dogs that graduated from GDA, I was the one that took your graduation picture. And I was enamored with that job for many, many years. I was pulled away by another nonprofit. I was there a few months. I was laid off because of lack of funding. And in my search for what am I going to do now, I really thought about what I loved in my life, and it was the service dog world. And I thought, what can I do to help? What can I do to go back out there with my public speaking skills and be able to educate the public on the biggest issue you have, and that is public access and your challenges with public access. Now, how do I know about those challenges? Well, when I traveled for GDA throughout the U.S., and I traveled to many cities, I had a dog with me because it was one of those situations, if you don't have a dog, don't come. You're nice and everything, but we'd rather see a dog. So I had an ambassador dog, and I was able to see what it was like a little bit into your world of having a dog and going into a restaurant, a hotel, a museum. I also quite often would have lunch with friends that had guide dogs, and I would see the discrimination. We would be sitting outside or someplace next to the bus station. I don't mean the bus with the wheels, but when they bus your dishes, it's loud, it's clanky, it's not the best place in the restaurant to be seated. So I had that experience, although the difference was I was able to see it, not just hear it. And I thought, this is not fair. There has to be some way to be an advocate for those of you. So I also realize that today we have a proliferation of people that are using their personal pets as fake service dogs. And I am utterly disgusted by that whole idea. I am a dog lover. I still have a career change dog from GDA, but I would never think about taking him out. First, I'd be a hypocrite for my business. But I also feel that dogs have a place, and it's not in public because they are disruptive to your service dogs. And they're not to be in public for many other reasons, including local health ordinances. So I toyed with the idea of becoming an advocate for service animal public access education. Last year, I took the bold step to extensively study all of the service dogs that are out there, not just guides. I wanted to make sure that I was well aware of the ADA laws, all of the laws and ordinances that are local as well as statewide. And yes, my big challenge is I have people that will come to me and say, why should you come and talk to our staff and not an attorney? Well, I'm a whole lot more fun than if you have an attorney come and speak. And I'm actually going to give you a talk from a different point of view. Yes, I know the laws, but I'm also going to let you know what it's like to be in the shoes of somebody that has a service dog and what their challenges are, because I've seen it myself. So I did all this education, realized that my greatest client base were going to be employees of hotels, restaurants, museums, entertainment venues, the restaurant associations, and Department of Rehab. So yes, I did introduce myself to Mr. Xavier yesterday. But my goal is to make the employees understand how to properly interact with you and your service dogs, and to comply, obviously, with the ADA so they don't get themselves into trouble. And I've said to many people that have questioned my business, in this day and age with social media, one misstep by some rather uneducated employee someplace will lead you to go home, get on the computer, and Facebook all of your friends, neighbors, and anybody that's within your listening capability. And the negative publicity for that company, that restaurant, that entertainment venue is going to be pretty detrimental. And one example I'm going to give you is Ann Taylor, and that's a nice ladies apparel store. They're all over the U.S., and one of them actually, the one in Salt Lake City, a gal came in with her guide dog, and obviously this is a service dog because it had a harness, so there shouldn't have been any mistake about it being a service dog and not a pet. But she walked in, and the sales associate got her right at the door and said, "I'm sorry, you can't bring a pet in." And they bantered back and forth, and the gal that had the service dog tried desperately to explain it wasn't a personal pet. And ultimately, she was asked to leave. Somehow, I know they had her phone number because the manager evidently called her and said, "I'm so sorry, we do this training. Our sales associates know better. Please come back." Well, in the meantime, when this lady got home, she had put it out into cyberspace how she'd been treated at Ann Taylor. And I'm reading all of the comments, and I'm telling you there had to have been at least 15 to 20 negative comments about Ann Taylor from people that were reading from her Facebook post. And women that were saying, "I'll never shop there again." And I'm thinking, okay, Ann Taylor, you need to get in on this conversation. You are losing critical business and clientele. And about comment number 30, finally somebody from Ann Taylor came in and said, "We apologize for this oversight, et cetera, et cetera." But I looked at the negative publicity that Ann Taylor had already gotten by all of those negative comments ahead, and I thought, is it something that they can rectify now, or is it just some damage done that is permanent? So it's one case of businesses today have to be very mindful of social media and all of you that are very tech savvy and know exactly how to get the word out there, and you don't have to do it by telephone any longer. So what I'd like to do is, and I will be in the room after the lunch, is I would like you to share with me your experiences, your positive, your negative, your humorous access experiences, because it's your story that I tell when I go to businesses. Not being a guide dog user myself, I don't pretend to know what it's like to be in your shoes for some of the challenging situations you've had. So it's your stories. I have a great PowerPoint presentation that is not something that puts people to sleep. I've got great photos. I will tell you that there are organizations, just to list the ones off the top of my head, Canine Companions for Independence, Dogs for the Deaf, all three guide dog schools in California, America's Vet Dogs, Guide Dog Foundation, Canine Support Teams are all very supportive of what I'm doing, and they've been wonderful in letting me use their photos for my website as well as for my presentation. So it's well-rounded. Like I said, I've done enough research that I can certainly speak on behalf of all of you, but please let me know if there's some help that I can give you, because that's why I'm here. And I want to thank Ken and Pam very much for allowing me to come in and introduce myself. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. And I will take questions. Yes. Oh, somebody has to have a question.
Let me see if this, it's on, sort of. You have to almost eat this other mic here. Do you have any questions for Debbie?
Yeah, stories.
Yes. I'm sure you have stories.
We're going to keep them a little short at this point because we also have, some time constraints here. But, you know, I do want to find out if at least you have any questions, general questions.
Okay, hang on. I've got the mic here, so I'm walking over to Perry.
The mic to you, so it's all on.
I'd like to know if an incident happens, will you go in after the incident happens to the establishment and correct them?
If you let me know where the incident is, I will contact them. Whether or not they want to hire me to help educate their staff is another story, but I will do my very best. My very best. Next question.
If I can chime in real quick on that one, in the Los Angeles area, Perry, several of us have put together a guide dog patrol. And once we hear about some local places where there are issues, we usually come back with anywhere from 4 to 10 guide dog handlers with their guide dogs, especially restaurants. And we will sort of, invade them. And so, you know, if you want to ever let us know about incidents like that, we will work with any of you in the L.A. area to try. Besides, we like to go out to eat sometimes. So we will certainly work with you on any of that.
I love it. Guide dog flash mob. Okay, Lynn.
Pretty much. Hi. I was wondering, are you doing anything to go into the Muslim community to educate them about service dogs? Because a lot of them erroneously think that the Quran prohibits, you know, being anywhere near service dogs. And as I understand it, as I understand it, that they say that they can have, you know, dogs if they're helping somebody who has a disability. There's no prohibition against being around service dogs, because there's a lot of problems with, you know, people who drive cabs, people who own, like, you know, my neighborhood, you know, they own a lot of little stores and things like that. And I really think they need to be, you know, I know it's a cultural issue and stuff, so, but they really need to be educated if they're doing business in this country. So I was wondering if you were doing anything in regards to that.
I have not. That's a great question and something that I will definitely look into, because culturally it would be something that would be an issue with them, very definitely. But then they do have to, if they have a business in our community, they do have to follow our laws. So I will definitely be looking into that.
And let me say, there's a great article out about that that's been out for a while, that in the culture, they are not supposed to touch the dogs. That part is true. But when the dog is helping and assisting someone with such as a service dog, then that is accepted as long as the dog is a helper. And I think what we can do, there is an article out. I may still have it, or I'll find it, and we will send it to Lee, and it will go in our next forward issue. Absolutely.
Okay. This is Frank. This is Frank. And can you give us your contact information so that we can share it with others?
Are you ready? Okay. www.serviceanimaledu.com. And my phone number is 818-535-4738. And I'm in the process of redoing my website this weekend. It will be in text format. When my web designer figures out how to do that, I said, that's imperative. So it may be down for a couple of days, but it will be up by the end of this week for sure.
I can send you the code that they need to use.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I will, because she was going to look into that actually yesterday. But if she has problems, I'll find out from you. Any other questions? Yes.
Robert Wendt here. Could you tell me what type of business you find are most resistant?
Which business I'm finding most? Businesses I'm looking for are any business where their employees interact with the general public, because ultimately it will be you. There are probably more dogs out now than before. We have so many returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan that are being placed with service dogs at a pretty high rate right now. So I'm guessing that we're going to see more in our communities than fewer. So it would be the restaurants, the hotels, museums, entertainment venues. Probably the most difficult group to work with is the groups that tell me, we really want you, but we're not willing to pay for your services. And to be very honest with you, and I tell them that I'm far less expensive than when one of you contacts your attorney and they contact you, and then it gets really expensive, a lot more than I charge. Thank you all. I will be here. I know you want to get on with your luncheon. I know. Oh, we have one more question, Ken. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Hang on one sec. I'm coming back, Perry. Hold on.
If an incident happens and we call the police and they do nothing, what do you do?
Well, that's a really good question because I've just started a package of information for law enforcement, and I've actually gone to my local police department because I'm on the police foundation for Simi Valley, which is Ventura County. And they have been fairly well trained, although he said we would really look into you coming back because we have a lot of new police officers on the force that probably don't have the information that they need. So it is a very unique niche. There are not a lot of us that are out there doing it. I may be the only one that's actually not in the community that has a service dog because all of you are advocates every time you go out with a dog. So me doing what I'm doing from my perspective is a little bit different, but I'm very confident that it will be a positive situation for all of you. Hopefully you'll walk into a restaurant or into a hotel and they will have been trained and say, oh, we know exactly what to do because there was a lady that showed us exactly how to interact and know the proper etiquette. And I think this hotel's done a really good job. They really have, what I've been able to observe. So,
one of the things that we had, and I don't know if anybody else who took Amtrak down or has taken Amtrak lately, one of the things that Amtrak is starting or tried to start doing was asking you not only what type of dog it was, what size the dog is, and what breed the dog is, those kinds of things. And their reasoning was because they need to know where to seat you. There is a, I think it was Janine Stanley who handled it nationally. But could they call, could we send you to Amtrak or someone in Amtrak to discuss that with them?
I did talk to Amtrak when they asked me when we got tickets to come here. She wanted to know, the reservationist, about the dogs. Just what breed? Are they medium? Are they large? And I told her we really don't need to give that information. And so she told me that they want to know because they want to know which car where there might be more room for seating. And I said, but the dog isn't on the seat. and I did contact the ADA compliance person for Amtrak that Janine sent me when I spoke to her. Janine Stanley, by the way, is a past president of Guide Dog Users, Inc., GDUI. And so when I spoke to the ADA person, he said, now, after Debbie had written that short article about it, Janine, I called that same person, and she said, well, we do that just so, again, so we can tell where, you know, which car to seat you in, where there's more room. So I'm also going to be calling, I have another number from Janine for the Department of Transportation, who I will call this week. And again, these are articles that once we get the information, we'll put in forward. So sometimes we get misinformation, and sometimes we get good information. What we really need is correct information.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. I know I have one more question here. Getting here.
Hello, this is Aisha, and I have had the same experience that Ken has, but to correct what he is saying, the reason why they ask those questions, not to seat you, but to make sure your dog has enough room for the car that they're going to put you in. That's what they told. Hold on, someone's having a conversation in the back of me. To make sure that my dog, because he is large, had enough room. Because she asked me, she said, well, what kind of dog? I said, he's a male golden lab retriever. And I said, he is large. She goes, oh, okay. And Toro gets a ticket. So when he gets the ticket, that means the space he's taken up, no one can move him or move us because the dog has a ticket.
Well, the one thing I'm aware of with any of us that travel on Amtrak, you do have to keep the aisles clear. So I can see where they want to make sure that the dog has space to be able to get under the seat or around you so that there's no tail or paws hanging out in the aisle, because I know that that is an issue.
Well, hi. This is Nancy Unger, and I can tell you, I work for Amtrak, and I have to tell people the same things, but the thing is, there are people who want to get on with comfort animals, and when people like this get on trains, that's why we ask why, well, what are the dogs trained to do? There are people who want to bring their pet monkeys and birds. I've heard it all. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I think that ruins it for, it makes it hard for us to have, true accessibility, and I will do more, but I have to be careful what I do. I don't want to, you know, upset, rock the boat, but if anyone has any problems, feel free to call Amtrak and ask for customer relations. And if they've had a bad experience with the situation, thank you.
Nancy, I don't think the issue for me, at least, is if you tell them you have a guide dog, that should be adequate. But they don't stop there, and they didn't ask, what does your dog do? They are allowed to ask two things that your dog does to help you. But that's not where they stop, and that's not where these customer service reps, a lot of them, I'm not saying, I know you do that too, but you know better. But that's not where the others come from. They don't get the fact of what they're supposed to ask you, what they're allowed to ask you, and what they actually do ask you.
Charlene?
It's got to be the last question.
I tried to get a ticket one time. I was going round trip, and I had the dog with me, so I knew what time I was leaving, but they insisted I had to know what time I was coming back. And if I would not tell them my return trip, because I didn't even know at the time, I was going to Camp Bloomfield, and they would drop me off at the train station with everybody else that was going that way. And they would not sell me the ticket until I told them. Yeah, they refused totally to sell me a return ticket until I gave them a time. They did let me know I could change it after I gave it to them. I said, fine. I just thought of, what times do you have? And I said, that's a good one. That whole scenario there does not totally go with their logic. And all the train cars are the same except for the cafe car and business class. They're all laid out exactly basically the same. Some of them have two seats on the left, some have two seats on the right. And other than that, they're the same. And people with disabilities are downstairs. So I don't understand what their problem is.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to thank Debbie for speaking with us. And please contact her. We'll get her information. We'll put it in forward. One of the things that we want to do also is reconstruct the website for GDUC. We think we know someone that can help us do that. And so we're going to be working on that, because I think all of us in this organization need some point of contact to be able to look things up, to put the laws out there like we used to do, and to have all this kind of information. I think one of the other things, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but I will, after our discussion today, this afternoon, if we go to one convention a year, I would think that we should have telephone membership meetings at least one or two additional times per year, and keep everybody informed of what's going on in California. So that is the conclusion of Debbie for this particular part of our lunch. And again, thank you.
I had to take the mic away from Mr. Metz. Okay. I know. I have two things, and then how many? I know Andy Caruso is here. Are there any other schools here? Huh? No?
But they're not at the luncheon.
Luncheon. Oh, okay. So I can let Andy do her school report.
Well, yeah.
And she's a nice lady.
She keeps telling us that.
But she's got the cutest boys at home. Her dogs are gorgeous. Emmett and Farley. Is it Farley?
Farley.
And Farley. Mm-hmm.
I have two 90-pound long-haired shepherds that are career changes. So, and they're at GDA camp, sleepaway camp right now. Anyway, I'm the only guide dog school here. Boy, you guys are going to be impressed. Well, my usual update from GDA is really boring because nothing much changes there. I made notes about what's going on, and I have exactly two lines. So, one thing at GDA, it's a constant. You know, we are a very traditional program. I think most of you guys know us. We are like the old-fashioned school. For first-timers, they stay for 4 weeks. Retrains stay for 3 weeks, and occasionally a little bit extra if you're coming from a different school. We have you stay as long as we can because we feel that that's you want to get the most you can while you're in the guide dog school bubble. So I know you're all glad to go when you go, but we like having you there. And we are, we read the lectures to people. We don't give you things on CDs. We're truly, truly old-fashioned. But it works for us. So we use the Labradors and Golden Retrievers. We do a Lab Golden Cross. And down the road, we're going to have shepherds. I think I mentioned before we're rebuilding our shepherd colony. I think we have about a dozen. They're little guys. And we actually imported a few from Germany. So we got some nice dogs that we grew. And their oldest dogs, I think they're going to go on the mommy track. So I was hoping that we would have shepherds in a year. I think realistically it's going to be about a year and a half. So we have some nice dogs, but they're not ready yet. But it's awful nice to see those pointy dogs around GDA, that's for sure. And let me see. But that's pretty much it. We have 10 people per class. Everybody knows this stuff. I don't know. 10 people per class, 3 instructors for every 10. And all of our instructors at the moment are licensed, so that's a nice thing. I don't know. Come at GDA, we work your butt off. Pretty much. That's it, guys. Anybody have any questions? You all know us. Very good. Very short, very boring. You're welcome.
Well, we certainly thank Andy for that, as well as the fact that even though she's right, we do know everything about GDA, we also enjoy having her here with us. Thank you. Well, besides borings in Oregon.
One of the things I found with getting Kingston from GDA is that Kingston is a local boy in Northridge. So we could be walking down the street or we could be in the store. Somebody, oh, is that Kingston? I remember him when he was 6 weeks old. And things like that. And it's a good thing because they're very, very, if we have a problem, they're there, they're close. We're lucky because we live close to them in that respect. and but it's a fun school. It's a small campus, and my dog goes crazy. He actually gets crazy when he goes on that campus. He forgets he's a guide dog. But it's fun, and I was hoping another school was here. But one thing I wanted to do with you today is we had a business meeting this morning, and one of the things that Lee and I have talked about especially is that, and Aisha and Robert, and we've all laughed, and Ken have laughed about this, is I want every last, if every last one of you, I'll give you my email address, can send me a story or a blurb or a paragraph of what your dog, what you think your dog is actually thinking about when they're under that table. And it can be at a restaurant, at home, they better not be under the table. But at a restaurant or even here or at work, any place you're at. It's a cute idea because, like, I know what mine would be thinking. I hope she eats a little longer so I can sleep a little longer. Uh-huh. Because if there's one thing about my dog is he's lazy and loves to sleep. So, but, and then Miss Kari over here, she's Miss Busybody. She would be, come speak, if she wants everybody to speak to her. So, and she's cute as a little button, but busy. So I really would love if everybody in here who uses a dog and has a dog and they're laying down under something and wonder what kind of conversation they're actually having.
Or tell us what your cane thinks.
Tell us what your cane thinks too. Okay. So I'm going to, those who, I can give you my email address if you want it. And then you can send them to me and I'll get put them all together and send them to Lee. My email address, whoever, okay, you got a pencil? It's P-D-H-I-L-L. Okay, this number better not leave this room. 1958@gmail.com. They better not leave this room. But the other thing is we also discussed, we're going to start doing a lot more with getting, like Ken said, I'm going to be working with CCBNet to get our listserv back up, and all I need to have is two moderators, and we'll get the listserv back up and running because that's one good way of communicating with everybody who uses email. I'm also going to start a GDUC announce list so that would just be straight announcement, things that we're getting ready to do within our communities or things like that. And I have one other thing. I did not know this, but Nellie Emerson's was one of the first people who actually started one of the organizations. When she told me that story today, I was totally wowed to realize that GDUI's mother was started in 1969 or 8? 1969 in New York City. So what Nellie she's willing to do is she's going to write the history for us, and we're going to put it in forward for us. So we're trying to work on membership, and what I want to do, I'm going to get me a toll-free conference line, but a conference line, so that I want to put together a couple of calls a year so that the membership can call and to give us ideas of what they want to do, what they think should do, and how we go about doing it. So those are some of the ideas. Other than I'm going to talk to Mary Beth about having a school liaison here with GDUC, as well as, what do you call it, a liaison with the State Guide Dog Board. So those are some of the things that we're going to start working on. We really have to start focusing back on building the membership within GDUC and getting out there so people will start wanting to join the organization. Now I'm going to let my other half over here talk about the Mutstrud. Okay, you know? Okay, I won't let him do it.
We also talked a couple of things this morning, and we're going to include Mutstrud here. There were elections this morning, and Pamela Hill Metz was reelected as vice president, and
Lee Morton was reelected as secretary. I mean, as treasurer. She doesn't want to be secretary. I took notes, actually, this morning. As treasurer. And then our friend up in San Francisco, geez, all of a sudden, David Jackson. I knew the last name. I couldn't think of his first name. David Jackson was reelected as a board member for 2 years. So that was the elections this morning. A couple of the things that we discussed, which we'll all go into this, for the spring convention. And, yes, we will definitely have two conventions in 2013. So in Sacramento, we're hoping to get, for those of you that want to come up there, we're hoping to have a good dialogue at our 10 a.m. program meeting, if we can work this out, with Antoinette, who is the executive director at the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, and any other board members she may wish to, We want to see what we can do to reinstitute some good repertoire between us and them, reestablish the Guide Dog Trainer of the Year that we used to have on Guide Dog Day up in Sacramento. And then we're also going to see who will be interested in attending some of the Guide Dog Board meetings when they're in your specific regional area. So we know they have one in Sacramento. That's Guide Dog Day, I believe. We know they have one in Sylmar at Guide Dogs of America. We know they have one at Guide Dogs of the Desert, and or at least in Palm Springs area, and also one up at San Rafael at Guide Dogs for the Blind. So we will find individual members or a couple of members in those areas that can attend. So again, our presence is well known. We have to reorganize GDUC to build up the membership. We have gone from 135 down to 28. And so we need to try and find what will make this work, what the guide dog handlers really need from this organization, and what we can do to get them motivated once again to be a part of Guide Dog Users of California. And this is not only a great organization. I've been in here since something like 1990 or so in GDUC. And a couple of you, I think, have been in here before I was. Nellie was, I believe, and a few others. And so we really do, and Lee was in here before me. So we really do need to get back on track. And what we heard from our speaker today, from Debbie, we need to find out exactly what we can do. You know, we sometimes get a little complacent. We think that all of our issues are answered and there are no more problems. And then all of a sudden, you try to get a taxi. You try to go into a certain restaurant. You're with other people. And you go into that restaurant and they tell you and embarrass you because you have a group of 5, 6, 7, 8 people that you're with. And you're the one with the guide dog. And they say, no guide dogs allowed. Or no dogs allowed. And so we need to really work on these issues. They have not gone away. They do exist, maybe not like they used to. But there are certainly other areas of guide dog access that we still need to deal with, other legislation that we need to deal with, other kinds of resolutions that we need to deal with to get California back on track. Some of you said this afternoon even, well, you know, we called the police and they didn't know what to do. There's no excuse for that because GDUC and GDUI worked together to put out a videotape that had to do with training for the police department. And some of them bought it, some of them didn't buy the videotape, and then they don't train with it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So we need to see what we can do to make sure that they implement required training, if there's a way to do that. I still don't understand why businesses get their licenses, why that is not a requirement that they realize, know, and understand that guide dogs, service dogs are welcome. So those are my things. Now, Mutt Strut. We're going to have four regions doing the Mutt Strut in 2013. That will be right here in San Diego. Charlene Ornelas will be the chair. I will chair Los Angeles. Frank Welty will chair San Francisco, and Jeff Tom will do Sacramento. One of the things that we can all do in the different areas is put together a guide dog team to actually walk in the mud strut. In doing that, we can also get friends of ours, a lot of friends with guide dogs and with pet dogs. You know, no one said in this organization that we don't have, couldn't have sighted members. So I think that the mud strut can do a whole lot of things. Number one of most important is it will bring money into CCB, which is badly needed, as some of you heard during the board meeting, and I know we'll hear that a little bit this afternoon. We'll hear some more of that from the treasurer tomorrow morning in the business meeting. The second thing is we can recruit members that way for GDUC. The third thing, and one of the neatest things about the mud strut, for those of you who haven't been in it, is that there's a real great opportunity for some social time and getting people to realize what guide dogs do and all that just by talking with us. And what we even do in CCB and what we do as people who are blind or visually impaired. So it's imperative that we all participate in the mud strut and build up teams, help CCB, but also help GDUC in its membership recruitment. So I'm hoping that once you hear about this at the beginning of 2013, we're putting our proposals together this month. The board, CCB Board of Directors will vote on it in December, and then we are going to hit the road, Jack, in January. And so and do any of you have any questions about mud strut or any other things that we've talked about? Don't raise your hand. Say something because I can't see your hand. Wait, hold on one sec, Nancy. Charlene, can I bother you? Oh, Debbie got it. Okay. Thanks, Debbie.
Hi. I wanted to be in the mud strut, but I don't know if the word's intimidated. If there'll be a lot of people, I won't know the route. Are there people who help us, you know, give us some guidance when we're there? Thank you. Nancy. And I've just described what it is exactly.
Okay. Nancy, what it is, can you hear me okay? All right. What it is with the mud strut is it's a 2K or 5K, which means basically just about a 1 mile, a little over maybe, and a three mile walk, whichever you want to do. Some people can also run. We will have, especially professional runners, we're going to have timing and things like that because they can use those scores on sanctioned races. But we always have plenty of volunteers. We had to cancel the one for Los Angeles this year, and I'm not going to go into that. They were just the circumstances that were beyond our control or issues beyond our control, and I'm not going to go into it. But the point is we already had 100 volunteers lined up. So a volunteer will walk and or run with any of our folks that would like to participate in the race. What you do is you get people to sponsor you. They can sponsor if you're going to walk the 2K, how much they'll pledge, and we like to even collect it ahead of time. So basically we're asking them for a pledge for you to be walking with your dog in the mud strut. You can also invite other people to go with you. And they can have all their pet dogs with them as long as they're under control and on a leash. Those are the requirements. We don't want any problems with dog fights or any of that. And so the dogs do have to be under control. Other than that, we usually have food at these events. We have other snacks. We have things that we give away. You have goodie bags and stuff like that with a T-shirt in it for the race and a nice bag. I think some of you got bags even when you registered, the ones that are left over. I can't tell you how many I have at home. But the point is it's a half-day affair
that all of us can have a lot of fun with. Does that help? Okay, so yes, you will be well taken care of. Any other questions? Okay, so again, that information will also be coming out. Lee, the next issue of Forward is for when?
I know we haven't put out a December Forward in a long time because nobody was sending anything, so we voted to drop it. But because this last issue was kind of depressing with all the stuff about GDUI, I am planning to put a special holiday issue out with some more light stuff. But we could put some of this in here, too, and or save it for March, whatever your pleasure is. The next, so yeah, December 1st or March 1st, whichever one can work for you.
If you don't mind for December 1st, we could take a vote, but I personally would like to see, sometime December so that we can get all the Mudstrut information out there so people could be prepared for the beginning of the year.
December's fine with me. Okay. I'll be waiting.
Okay, I'm through with everything, and so it's back to our acting president or vice president who's acting president. Here you go. Oh, she got that one. Okay.
Okay. Now, did you guys enjoy your lunch?
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good lunch, actually. I actually liked the dessert. So I want to thank everybody for attending the luncheon. I want to adjourn early so we can take the dogs out. I need to get down to exhibits and pick up my dog's new collar tags. They have one in Braille for both dogs. Yes, it was. And so I want to adjourn. I want to thank everybody for coming. And remember, if you want to send me a blurb about what your dog is actually talking about under those tables, my email address is pdhill, here we go again, 1958@gmail.com. Shut up, Robert. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I already won it.
No, you didn't. You got one at home. Shake it up. Shake that. Who got the ticket tag? Okay, shake it up real good. Shake it up real good. Yeah, let Debbie pull it.
Because we don't trust you.
We don't trust you.
There isn't a guest.
Shake it.
Last four numbers.
The last four numbers.
Oh, that's okay. My voice carries.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. My last four numbers. 8330.
So we'll need somebody to help them read them because they're all there. Nothing is in Braille.
That was one after years.
Who won it? So
this what you get for being honest for a change.
He won a dog bed. So I want to thank everybody for coming, and we'll see you guys in the relieving area and in session. Thank you.